We all love The Last Dance featuring Michael Jordan. There is a brand new 30 for 30 docuseries on Lance Armstrong that debuted last Sunday called Lance. Joining us is the director and the person who sat and asked Lance Armstrong all those questions. It is Marina Zenovich. Marina, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Marina, I thought to myself beforehand, you know, I want to forgive Lance Armstrong. I want Lance to apologize for lying to all of us. I want to like Lance Armstrong again. And after watching the first 2 hours, which, by the way, I loved, I dislike Lance I dislike him even more.
Did you watch the last 2 hours?
I haven't watched the last 2 hours yet.
Okay, this so is... I still have time so... for you to either hate him even more or open it up and love him a little bit. I don't know.
So this is what you do. You get us to hate him, then he gets cancer, and you feel sorry for him, you like him, and then you hate him again towards the end of the episode.
I mean, we were trying to have the audience decide, and I think this is really a sporting figure that, you know, you come to the table with how you feel about him, and, you know, a lot of people have very strong feelings.
Oh, they do.
For
you
good
know,
reason.
In the first 2 hours, when he got into the truck without a shirt, that bugged me. Why did he have to do that?
That's hilarious.
That
was a very kind of, what is it called? We were in Austin. It was hot. It was raining.
Right.
He was about to go swimming. So he didn't have a shirt on.
I mean, come on. He wanted.
Is he looking too good for you or what?
He wanted to show off the body. This is what I didn't like about Lance. I liked him and I hated him at the same time. It's the weirdest thing. His smugness. He is a man that does not lack confidence, that's for sure. But we're coming off The Last Dance, of course. We love Michael Jordan here in Chicago. So likable. But Michael, a competitor. Here's Lance Armstrong. That's a huge competitor, too. But so unlikable because I felt like he had a sense of entitlement.
I don't know what that means. A sense of entitlement from youth? From writing a $5 million check for the postal case? Like, at what point did you feel like he's entitled now?
I felt like that he was given everything as growing up because everyone told him how great he was. So here's this kid that they built up from a young age, and he thought, okay, I can do anything I want.
Yeah, well, welcome to America, my friend. I see a lot of little boys like that in my son's school. So it's an exploration of that.
Right.
But I think that he's been humbled as well based on what's happened to him. But it's all of that. It's ugly.
We're talking with Marina Zenovich. She is the director of The Last Dance director of Lance featuring Lance Armstrong. I'm getting my docuseries mixed up, but I absolutely loved it because you got a peek inside the Tour de France, and Lance said it himself, and the other writers said it themselves. You had to do drugs in order to compete in the Tour de France, and in order to win, you had to do EPOs, which is that synthetic drug.
I think a lot of people know it. I think, you know, you have your cyclists who didn't want to do that, so they feel very strongly that not everyone was doping. Then you have your people who say, well, the EPO didn't affect everyone differently. It affected Lance Armstrong better than other people because he had a low hematocritic level. So it's very layered and complicated, but, you know, I interviewed a great French cyclist named Christophe Basson, who now works in anti-doping in France. And he was on the Festina team in 1998, and he said, you know, I wasn't going to ride the Tour de France because everyone knew that in order to ride it, you had to be doping, and I didn't want to be. So, yeah, I mean, I think performance-enhancing drugs are kind of everywhere.
Well, it wasn't frowned upon in cycling, that's for sure, especially with the Tour de France. I mean, painkillers, cocaine, amphetamines were mentioned in the docuseries. People were taking every imaginable drug to compete in the Tour, and then EPOs came along, and they're like, okay, we're going to take this synthetic drug because it's crazy good.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the drugs you mentioned before EPO, that was all from the beginning. I mean, it was kind of this crazy bicycle race that was started and people would kind of do whatever they could to try to finish it. And I still kind of follow cycling and doping, and, you know, people are hopefully riding clean, but a lot of people tell me people are still doping.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if anyone's ever going to get to the bottom of that.
Can you explain what exactly EPO is, that synthetic drug that Lance was taking and a lot of the other riders were taking?
It's a cancer drug that elevates your red blood cells. So you need more red blood cells to go faster.
And it gives you more energy? Is that what it does?
It kind of prolongs your ability to propel yourself forward.
Okay.
It makes it easier.
Got it. Yeah. All right. The docuseries is called Lance, The Last 2 Hours. By the way, you can see everything on demand nowadays. And if you haven't seen the first 2 hours, you need to see it. And I can't wait to see the last 2 hours of Lance. Marina Zenovic, the director, on the phone with us. So walk me through this. So in 93, Lance started doing cortisone shots. Then he heard about EPOs, started doing EPOs, came in second place in the tour in 95. And he wanted to step up his PED game. So in 96... he started taking EPOs. Was it before the cancer or after? I can't remember.
It was both. And, you know, I don't think he went there looking to start taking EPO, but what he discovered, and we explained in the film, was that even though he was the quote-unquote champion of the world wearing the white jersey, the rainbow jersey, he was getting his ass kicked because other riders were taking EPO.
Right.
So he at first was angry about it and, you know, had thought he had worked so hard to get to this point. And then he gets there and it's like, wait, what's going on? So I think for a lot of these young riders, they decided to take EPO, and, you know, and they also did blood bags and what have you.
Right.
I mean, you know, doping has been around sport for a long time. There was the Festina scandal in 98. There was the Puerto, Operation Puerto scandal in Spain in 2005 or 6. So, yeah, I don't think they necessarily go into this thinking they're going to do that, but, you know, many cyclists told me they would find themselves there going like, what am I going to do?
Right.
What do I do?
Yep. You know, the first part of Lance, the first 2 hours, the smugness really turned me off. And then the testicular cancer part of the show was just so riveting, because here's why, Marina. I've said on the radio for years and years and years, listen to your body. If something is wrong, then go see a doctor. You listen to your body. Lance knew his body to a T, took care of it, worked out like crazy, watched his food intake, knew exactly what drugs were going in his body. Then he gets a throbbing pain in his testicles and doesn't go to the doctor for months. And finally, he starts coughing up blood and goes. I don't get that part of it. Why didn't he go?
I think he was young. I think he didn't know. I think he spent a lot of time on that bike seat, which maybe he thought, like, that's part of it. But thank God he went.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
I have to say, it's so interesting what you talk about, the smugness. It's like, I don't view it as smugness. Everybody sees it differently. Somebody said he was raging. To me, he's hit rock bottom. And he's on his way back up. He's trying to survive. He's trying to understand his story of we all tell ourselves our story of our life, right?
Right.
And it's good and bad and ugly.
Yep.
And I find him just a take no prisoners attitude. He doesn't care. So he just shoots from the hip and tells it like it is. And it can be viewed as different things. And it's just so fascinating to see some people find it refreshing and other people find it ugly.
How much?
I guess that's why I made the film, because he's such an amazing character who brings out so much emotion in people.
Well, he's very polarizing with people. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, stage 4 cancer, they give him little hope. He goes through surgery. I forgot that he had brain cancer. Besides getting a testicle removed, he had to have brain surgery because it spread into his brain.
Yeah, you forget that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that he was on death's door. and survived. And another thing that was interesting to me was, you know, it's like with cancer patients, like you're kind of sweating it out for the first 5 years. Is it going to come back?
Right. Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was really lucky.
But it reminded me, I know we just got off The Last Dance, but it reminded me of such a competitor because Jordan always needed something. He needed a reason or somebody to compete against so he could move to the next level. Here's Lance, a guy that had stage 4 testicular cancer. He had cancer metastasized in his brain, went through 12 weeks of chemo, and here he is thinking to himself, now I have to beat cancer. It's just another competition
right.
for him.
That was a great moment. I had a friend who had cancer, and I sent her that little blurb. Like, it was a competition to him.
Right.
Like, that cancer was the bad guy, and he was the good guy. And I thought that was such a great lesson for anyone who is struggling with that. And, you know, I think no matter what Lance did in terms of the bullying and the cheating and the lying to a great majority of people who... in their darkest moments, he was a cancer. He was someone they could look up to, a hero they could look up to who survived. They won't let anyone take that away from them.
Right. That's the juxtaposition from this film, at least for me, because of the smugness. Then,
right.
then he gets cancer, and it's like, oh, my God, here's this guy. We want him to beat cancer. And then... so he beats cancer, and he puts together a charity bike ride, which in turn turns into the Live Strong Foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was quite admirable that he wanted to do something. And Live Strong helped a lot of people. We get into that more in part 2, how it helped different people more than you can imagine. And then it gets much more complicated as he's lying and,
right.
you know... cheating and bullying, yet is you know, people thought he was using cancer as a shield. I mean, it's
but was he? I haven't seen it yet. I don't want you to give it away because I want to watch it and I want to enjoy it. But I would think that the reason that he was lying is to protect the foundation and all those cancer patients that were looking up to him.
Partially. I mean, I think he says at a certain point, like, I can't. When am I going to tell everyone, oh, by the way, I've been doping, you know?
Right.
So it's just like he has this great bit where he talks about, like, you tell one lie, and then you tell another lie, and then you tell another one, and
yeah.
pretty soon it's like 10,000 lies,
mm-hmm.
you know, cut to headline, Lance Armstrong tells 10,000 lies, which is like he's trying to make a point. Like, it's just like you're a little kid and your parents tell you not to lie. Like,
right.
it catches up with you.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it does. That's why you got to come clean right away. So you're telling
totally.
Me the last 2 hours, I'm going to start liking Lance Armstrong again.
You're really going to have to get back in touch with me because I'm curious. I don't know. I mean, to me, I give him credit for being willing to put himself out there.
Yeah.
But we go there in the second part. It's ugly.
Okay. I just want to see a little contrition. I just want to see a little contrition.
Yeah.
Okay. Marina, thanks for your time. I mean, you did a wonderful job with this film. Marina Zenovich, of course, the story on Lance Armstrong on ESPN. It's called Lance. You can see the first part on demand and, of course, the second part tonight on ESPN. Marina, thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Ferrari was a proponent of less is more. Because we would ask, you know, we're like, oh, I heard somebody's doing this, and I heard somebody's doing that, and should we think about that? He said, Lance, all you need is the red cells. So EPO, which then became transfusions or bags, and that's it.